It might be a sad thing for us, but sometimes one could get an impression that Satan studied the Word of God more than the people of God. That we take the Word of God for granted, and Satan is looking for all the things that he might use to deceive the mankind. The woman said unto the serpent, I know only the things that I heard from Adam. Why would not the serpent go and talk with Adam? No, she didn't say that. She was, in a way, perhaps honored that she can talk freely about something that she knows very well. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. There is only one tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, ye shall not eat of that one, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, that's not the only thing that God had said. Not only that ye shall not touch that one tree, but also that they may eat of every fruit of the garden. And they did eat just about any tree, any fruit. Was it good for them? Yes, it was. It was a blessing. It was healthy. It was delicious. Well, if that was proven to be the truth, what God has said, why would anyone doubt the rest of his words? Well, the serpent did not leave to the woman much time to think about that. The answer, or the next step of the serpent is, ye shall not surely die. It is not quite sure what God has said. Now, at this point, if not before, Eve should have been alarmed. The enemy is saying something very terrible, that what God has said is either not true or not exactly the truth. And it's not quite sure that they will die. Maybe, but maybe not. The Bible usually does not give long stories and many details. I imagine if this was a story of human beings, that the serpent would say, well, why not make a test? Take only one piece, just one fruit, and get a bite and see if you feel some kind of sickness, and then spit it out. Don't eat it. Well, in this case, Satan first tries to discredit the Word of God. And then he's accusing God, that God somehow wants to limit the life of the human race. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now this word gods did not exactly mean ye shall be equal with the Almighty God, but ye shall be as lords. And the word Lord in quite a few languages is used both for human lords and for the name Lord God, the same word. And so Satan offered to the woman, some improvement, or as the modern, I try to find the proper word, perhaps I could say, modern science of sin says fulfillment. You see, they feel empty if they don't sin. And when they pursue in the direction of sin, they feel some excitement, some interest, some expectation of unknown. So they call that fulfillment. Actually, that brings more and more emptiness. Just if you are not too much grossed out of the press, reading the press, sometimes take a moment and read about the end of the life of those that had so much of that kind of so-called fulfillment. It's an awful way of living, an awful way of dying, and an awfully, awful way of spending eternity the way they are going to do it. So, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. What happened? What kind of eyes they had before? To what will their eyes be opened? Ye shall be as gods. You know that in everything, in all of this, there was some truth, some facts, grossly perverted, twisted. Yes, their eyes did open, and they saw that they lost what they had, peace and joy, and they got fear, and they were naked. If they were naked in their own eyes, what were they in the eyes of God? Sinful people. And yes, they became as one of the heavenly beings, knowing good and evil. Satan knew what is evil. He tried it. Now he tries to promote that evil and to get more creatures to fall into his snare, into his pit. And now the woman, by this moment, should have been frightened and should have felt how nasty, how ugly that all is, accusing God, the Creator, who gave them so many blessings and such a wonderful, glorious Garden of Eden where they lived in happiness and praised the Lord and worshipped God, to accuse him that he, the Creator, somehow is perhaps selfish or mean to the people. The woman should have fled away from Satan. I don't know if sticks or staves were allowed in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps that could have helped. But in any case, to continue in the same direction, to continue this conversation with the enemy, was very, very dangerous. And more dangerous every moment. The woman looked at the tree again. Apparently she was not very far from the tree when Satan talked to her. You see, when we are close to the forbidden, Satan is close to us. When we are close to the Lord, we are far from the forbidden. That's approximately how it works. Probably that's precisely what it is. The woman is looking at the tree with different eyes. Apparently her eyes started getting opened or looking in a different way. Her eyes are blurry. She's getting blind because she's looking in a wrong direction and listening to a wrong voice. She saw that the tree was good for food. How could she know that? The tree must have been, the fruit must have been similar to some other fruit that she tried already. And that's one of the powerful weapons of Satan, to offer something that appears to be similar to the will of the Lord, and yet other than the will of the Lord. And then the next thing, the tree, the fruit is pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it's attractive. It looks good. And the tree is to be desired to make one wise, you know, knowing something that she never knew before. It's getting exciting. She's driven. She's taken by that whirlpool of sinful desires. And there she goes. She comes quite close to the tree. She's stretching her hand and she's picking up of the fruit. And Satan is there to urge her. Oh yeah, it's good. Look at that. Beautiful. Isn't that nice? And so she ate. Satan was triumphant at that moment. Once again, he was successful in insulting the Almighty God. I'll let him have it for a while. It won't take long. All of his life in death, all of his existence, he's paying for it. Satan is in himself, Satan is hell. There is no happiness in him. In him is burning that hell fire, that hatred, that malice, that wickedness. He's very unhappy. But his only desire is, or his only joy, even though it cannot be joy, it's bitterness. But all that he is after is to make somebody else just as unhappy. What a misery. And the woman ate, and then she turned around, went to her husband, and gave him to eat. And he ate also. Here we see the dimensions of sin. As soon as the woman sinned, she looked for her husband. Before that, she didn't need him. She did not need Adam to ask him, hey, shall we change the style of our life and change our diet? Look, so far we ate only the good trees that the Lord God has given us. Why not try that one that he has forbidden? Now, as soon as she ate, as soon as she sinned, she's looking for Adam and asking for company. Let's sin together. Sin likes to multiply. So they did. And now they have a different fellowship. Not anymore the most glorious creature of the Almighty God that has with God that life going on forever. These are now sinful people, and the fruits or the consequences of that sin are coming very quickly and filling their hearts and their minds, replacing what was before, peace and joy. So, yes, their eyes were opened to look, just as what was the name of that man? Remember, in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul was talking to a ruler, witnessing and preaching to him, and there was a Jew that opposed the word of God. And that man was very stubborn in his opposition, and he was trying to turn this man to whom Paul witnessed away from the Lord. And at one moment, Paul said, "O thou son of every unrighteousness," and then told him that the hand of the Lord will be upon him to make him blind, so he will not see the sun for a time. And this man opposing the gospel turned blind at that moment. And his eyes were wide open, but he couldn't see anything. And so Adam and Eve had their eyes opened, but they didn't see anything of the good that they had before. They could not enjoy it anymore. The trees in the garden that were so enjoyable before could not offer to them a good shelter to hide them away from the Lord. So that terrible and awful day is coming to its end, but before the night, the Lord is going to walk through the garden, and Adam and Eve are quickly trying a new occupation that they didn't have before. They try tailoring, they try to make garments for themselves. And as it is so typical for sinners, Adam and Eve took quite improper material for that. Fig leaves, very harsh, they scratch. And not only that, the fig leaves will curl up very soon, and they will be just as naked as before, and probably not only naked, but having quite a few spots of irritation that will hurt and so on. That wouldn't take away their nakedness. Those aprons will just reveal that they know they're guilty, they're wrong. So those aprons did not give them adequate protection, so they ran away and they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. But you see, the voice of the Lord echoed through the garden, and they just could not pretend anymore they don't hear the voice of God. And the Lord God called Eve. No, not Eve, Adam. You see, Adam was responsible for something. Adam was the first one, and he should have been, if not the first one to chase that serpent away, then to refuse to violate the law of God. The Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Why did not Adam try to keep quiet? Perhaps the Lord would get tired of calling and go his way and leave Adam and Eve alone in the garden. No. You see, when God calls, everybody has to answer, even the devil. And since Adam was not yet as sinful as the devil, he answered. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So we know what happened. The Lord answered to Adam what Adam should have known before he sinned. "What tell thee that thou art naked? Or who told thee thou wast naked?" God didn't tell him that. He didn't talk to God. And yet, God did tell him that. Because in his guilt, Adam still had some conscience. So God said, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. How typical for a sinful heart. The other, my wife is wrong, because she gave me to eat, and God, thou art wrong, it's thy fault, because thou hast given me the woman. I never did that before. When he was single, he never ate of the forbidden tree. Well, if Adam was single, and if he ate of that tree, he would probably told God, well, because thou hast not given me any company, so I had to eat of that tree. He would have to have some excuse, but really with God there are no ifs. The way it happened, that's how it happened, and there is no other way. So Adam tried to excuse himself, he tried to accuse the others, he tried to accuse God. Nothing worked. Since Adam refused the opportunity to confess and to correct himself, God turned away from Adam and he talked. God talked to the woman. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman, well, you see, in this case, the woman followed the man. The woman excused herself too. She could have said, Adam let me alone for a moment, and so serpent deceived me. But Adam was right there next, and perhaps that was not very convenient to say. So the woman answered, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, the serpent beguiled thee. Why? Because thou hast listened to the serpent. Whoever does not believe God makes God a liar. It's quite a sinful thing. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, now the Lord God did not ask serpent, why hast thou done this? Serpent was already under a curse, under a judgment, self-condemned, perhaps the best way of saying it.